Prunella Scales is Sarah France in After Henry by Simon Brett, with Joan Sanderson as Eleanor, Benjamin Whitrow as Russell, and Jerry Cowper as Claire. Wedding Bells.
Come in, Mother!
Oh, are you there, dear?
Well, since I said come in, Mother, and since you can see me, I think we can safely conclude that I am here, yes.
I haven't the energy for your sarcasm, Sarah. I've just had the most exhausting time with Vera Poling at the Sycamores.
Oh, yes?
Really? Since she's gone into that eventide home, she's become incredibly selfish. Completely monopolised the conversation. I could hardly get a word in.
Really?
Hardly a word. I just went there for a cup of tea, and now I need a cup of tea to recuperate.
Fine. I'll put the kettle on.
Oh, it's really rather sad when old people get completely selfish. It's a danger I've always been very aware of.
Oh, yes?
Vera was just going on and on about her granddaughter, you know, Stephanie.
I think I've heard the name, yes.
Well, you remember, she was the one who looked all set to go to the bad, had half her hair shaved off and the other half dyed purple and wore fishnet tights with holes in them.
Ah!
But then it turned out all right in the end, because she got a good job with the Norwich Union and met this nice young man with the company Sierra.
Oh, yes, it all comes back to me.
Well, anyway, Stephanie is getting married.
Oh.
And goodness me, to hear Vera go on about it, you think nobody ever got married before in the history of the world. She can't talk about anything else.
What do you mean? She's
quite unstoppable. She didn't ask anything about me. Didn't even ask how I was. I mean, that really is bad manners. Wouldn't you agree, Sarah?
Well, I...
Oh, no. All I got was more and more tedious details about this wedding. I mean, things that couldn't possibly be of interest to anyone outside her immediate family.
You know that that had been exciting.
Oh, I suppose so, to an extent. And particularly living at the Sycamores, where the milkman leaving the wrong flavoured yoghurt is a major news story. But why she should think anyone else is interested, I can't imagine.
Well, it's natural in someone of her age.
Hmm. Well, I hope I never get like that. I mean, is it of any interest to you that Kevin, that's the groom...
See, the one with the company Sierra?
Oh, yes, the same one. I don't think Stefan has got the gumption to find anyone else. But is it of any interest that his father's a widower, that he lives in Kettering, and that he hasn't yet decided whether to come by train or hire a car for the occasion?
Well, no, I wouldn't say...
Or that Stephanie wanted to have the ceremony at St. Michael's, but the vicar wouldn't allow it because they weren't regular members of his congregation. Or that the organist at All Saints, where they've ended up, is holding out for the Mendelssohn wedding march, while Stephanie wants something by Andrew Rice Webber.
Lloyd.
What?
Lloyd Webber.
Oh, well, it doesn't change my point. I mean, is any of that any interest to anyone outside Vera's immediate family?
No, Mother, I would say it quite definitely wasn't, hasn't he?
Thank you. And then the way she went on about the prospect of being a great-grandmother. Oh, dear, you'd have thought that had never happened before in the history of the world either. Vera seems to see herself as this amazing matriarch figure. She's only doing it for the death notice.
What?
Oh, Vera just fancies being in the Telegraph, as sorely missed by her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. She's always had this terrible competitive streak, real one-upmanship. I can't understand why people get so petty. I can never imagine myself bothering about that sort of thing.
No, Mother.
Anyway, Vera may have to wait some time for her great-grandchildren. I shouldn't think Stephanie and Kevin would want to rush into having a family. I'm sure they'll realise the benefits of waiting. They're both in insurance, after all. Anyway, it may not happen straight away, even if they wanted to. No. I think Vera may well be counting her chickens before they're hatched.
Good. Fine. Well, I think we've probably exhausted the subject now, don't you?
Oh, yes. Goodness, don't you imagine I want to talk about it. No, it's just she did go on so.
Mm. Yes, well, listen, I've been meaning
to... Oh, and all the business about where Stephanie and Kevin are going to have their wedding list. Stephanie's actually insisting on Harrods, even though they wouldn't dream of dropping there in the north.
Mother!
Oh, yes. Sorry. And when Vera got onto the subject of clothes and what she was going to wear for the ceremony, I thought she'd never stop. I mean...
Mother!
But, Sarah, dear, she was talking about wearing lilac. I mean, can you imagine lilac with her complexion? It just wouldn't...
Mummy, have you got any cash? I don't have time to go to the bank and the cash dispenser wasn't working. And when I find you...
Got a bit. How much do you need?
Oh, 10 will do. Just so I've got something to flash when Roger starts paying the bill.
Claire, you mean you and Roger go Danish?
Go Dutch, Granny. And no, we don't. Roger's got pots of money. He'll actually pay. I just want to show willing.
So you won't be spending any, are we?
No.
So you'll be able to give it back to me tax in the morning?
Sure.
All right, then, there's Ken.
Thanks.
Claire, do you know Vera Poling's granddaughter, Stephanie?
Yes, she's a member of the badminton club. We played each other in the tournament last year.
Oh, well, do you know, I have some news about her.
What, you mean that she's getting married?
How did you know?
Everyone's known for ages.
For ages? But it's only just been announced. It's going to be a very short engagement.
Well, it'll have to be, won't it?
What do you mean?
They don't want to have three of them at the ceremony, do they?
Three?
Yes, Granny, she's in the club.
Well, so you said. You played her in the tournament.
No, I didn't. Oh, never mind. I've got to go. I'm meeting Roger at 7.
Anyway, Claire, Stephanie's grandmother is making a great fuss about the wedding.
Yes, I bet she is.
All about what she's going to wear and all kinds of things. Do you know their wedding list is going to be at Harrods?
Oh, be more appropriate if it was at Mothercare.
What?
Look, mustache. Thanks for the money, Mummy. I'll pay you back in the morning.
All right, love. Have a good evening.
Thanks. Bye.
Did I gather from what Claire was hinting that Stephanie's having to get married?
Yes, Mother.
Oh. So maybe Vera hasn't got quite so much to crow about. And I'm sure she thinks I don't know. I'll just drop it into the conversation very casually. That'll wipe the self-satisfied smirk off her face.
It may not.
What do you mean?
Well, of course, Vera may be offended from a moral point of view. That I don't know. But one thing's certain.
What?
She's going to get her great-grandchild, isn't she? Quite soon.
Oh. Yes. This Roger, who Claire's going around with.
Yes.
The one with pots of money.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's a chance of anything serious coming of that?
So Eleanor's got dynastic ambitions now, has she?
I don't know. I think she's just basically jealous. Anything Vera Poling at the Sycamores has, Mother wants. Vera had a video, Mother had to get one. Vera's got a family wedding coming up, Mother wants one. Vera's going to have a great-grandchild, Mother thinks she ought to have one too.
And has Claire been informed of this, since presumably she might be rather closely involved?
No, Mother hasn't actually given Claire her breeding instructions yet. I'm sure it's only a matter of time before she does, though. No, I think hints about matrimony will soon begin to be dropped.
Subtle hints?
Oh, come on, Russell. You know Mother. She has all the subtlety of Shirley Bassey.
Mm. And how will Claire react to being hinted at?
She will bite Mother's head off. It's quite entertaining to see those two in conflict. Claire certainly gives as good as she gets.
Well, reserve me a ringside seat.
Right. In the meantime, I really think I ought to do some work. Didn't you say there was something you wanted to start today?
Oh, yes, yes. My master plan. I'm going to transform bygone books.
Oh, what are you planning to change?
Well, at the moment, it's also predictable, you know, fiction, history, poetry, biography, humour and so on. My idea is to put it all into sections according to what the book-buying public might want.
But surely the book-buying public does want fiction, history, poetry, biography, humour and so on.
No, 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 they don't. I mean, how do people describe the sort of books they're looking for? They say, I want something big and fat and mindless for the beach.
So you're suggesting having sections marked big, fat, mindless books for the beach?
Exactly. And thrillers with swastikas on the front, and romances that can be read without nausea by people with A-levels, and nice, cosy detective stories where nobody really gets hurt.
And gardening books that aren't just lots of glossy photographs.
Yes. And humorous books that are actually funny.
Cookery books with recipes you might sometimes actually make.
That sort of thing, yes. What do you say about the idea?
It's terrific.
Be fun to do anyway.
Yes, and given the number of...
What were you going to say?
Nothing, just that it's a great idea.
You weren't going to say that, given the number of people who actually come into the shop, it couldn't make sales any worse, by any chance?
Well, yes, I was, actually.
You're absolutely right. Come on, let's start with a section on classics that are surprisingly enjoyable to read.
Oh, great. Well, it's Cranford, for a start.
Oh, yes, and all the Waverley novels.
I wonder whether he is serious.
Sorry?
This Roger of Claire's. She was out with him again last night.
Oh, yes. Well,
I don't know.
But
Surely you should know.
Why?
Well, you are Claire's mother.
Yes, I knew that. I also know that the only thing that keeps our relationship vaguely civilized is that she has her own flat, and I'm not always questioning her about everything she does.
Well, I think it's a mother's duty to keep a maternal eye on her daughter's emotional entanglements. That's what I always tried to do with you. You know, subtly, at a distance.
Subtly? At a distance?
Say what you like. I still don't think much got past me.
Don't you? Really? Do you remember that boy Nick Finney?
What? That one from the council estate, with the errand boy haircut and the hammer toes.
Chisel toes, Mother. But yes, that's the one.
Well, what about him?
Oh, just that you didn't realise I went out with him.
What?
4 times.
When was this, sir?
Oh, for goodness sake, it was about 25 years ago.
And you didn't tell me,
no?
But, Sarah, Mick Finney's mother used to go shopping in her housecoat.
Mother, that is neither here nor there.
When did you do it? Was it on Tuesdays? I used to go out to cake icing on a Tuesday.
It wasn't on Tuesdays. It was on... Look, it's not important. All I'm saying...
And what did you get up to with him? Mick Finney had rather a reputation, as I remember. I hope you didn't do anything careless.
Mother, if I had done anything careless, it would now be grown up and probably have children of its own.
Yes. Yes, that's true. And I'd be a great grandmother.
Yes, you would.
This Roger of Clare's... You don't think he and Claire are likely to do anything careless, do you?
No, Mother, I do not. I've no idea what Claire gets up to with her boyfriends, but I'm sure whatever it is, she's extremely sensible about it.
Yes. I suppose they use these condors the television keeps going on about.
A condor is a South American vulture.
What?
Never mind. Just take my word for it, Claire is far too sensible to get herself into trouble.
Oh. Yes, of course. Unlike Vera's granddaughter. Yes, I'll choose my moment to let Vera know I know about that. And, of course, the wedding for the right reasons would be so much more tasteful. I wonder when this Roger of Clare's is going to pop the question.
Mother, Claire is only 19.
Well, just the age you were when Henry...
Yes, 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 all right, but Claire's much more...
I hope she won't want to go up the aisle to the strains of Tim Lloyd Webber.
Andrew.
What?
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Oh. And then, of course, it'd be the question of what to wear. Do you know, I think I might perhaps go for the same kind of thing as Vera. Show her the sort of complexion that can take life.
Look, Mother, Claire's not...
Claire's not what?
Oh, Claire's not... Here, was what I was about to say. But now she is. Now you are. Hello, Claire.
Hello.
Hello, Claire, dear.
Granny.
How are things?
All right.
Good, good.
Look, Mummy, I'm sorry to ask you, but would you mind listening out for my phone? I've got to go out. I'm expecting a rather important phone call.
From Roger?
What? No.
Oh, I see. You're going out with Roger.
No. It's someone from the badminton club who wants to fix up a league game, and if I'm not...
But Stephanie shouldn't be playing badminton in her condition.
Granny, Stephanie is not the only member of the badminton club. It's not her.
Oh.
Would you mind listening out, Mummy? It's the game's for tomorrow night, and I said I'd be in, but now I'm going to be out.
Yes, sure, I'll do my best.
So you're not going out with Roger tonight?
No.
But he's all right.
So far as I know. He was all right when I left him last night.
Good, good. He sounds charming.
Oh.
And very rich, you say.
More money than sense.
Oh, well, I'm sure a good wife could redress the balance.
What?
Mother.
You've been seeing a lot of this Roger recently, haven't you?
Yes.
When will you be seeing him again?
I won't.
What?
I've broken it off.
What? When? But you can't do that. Why?
Roger was getting too serious.
Too serious?
Yes. Do you know, last night he even proposed to me.
Proposed to you? Roger. And you turned him down?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Well, he's nice enough, but... Oh, goodness me, I don't want to get married yet.
You could have a long engagement.
Granny, I don't want a long engagement. And I don't want to get married for years and years and years. Thanks for listening out, Mummy. Bye.
Bye, love.
Well.
Sorry, Mother. Another fantasy comes tumbling to the ground. I'm afraid you're going to have to wait a bit longer for that great-grandchild.
Oh, that wasn't what I was worried about.
Mm-hmm.
No. A family wedding would be nice, though.
I think from what Claire said, you may have to wait a while for that, too.
Yes. Of course, it needn't be Claire.
What? No, Mother. Oh, no, Mother. I think you might have to wait even longer for that to happen. You may have noticed there isn't even a hint of a shadow of a boyfriend on my horizon.
No.
And there hasn't been for years.
No, that's true. I wonder what happened to that nice McFinney.
Come in.
Claire.
Mummy.
Sorry, Dr. Bartin. About Roger.
Yes?
It's all right, is it? I mean, about breaking off?
Oh, yes. He was nice, but... Oh, I'll pull through.
Good. Well, if you want to talk...
Thanks. I'll bear the offer in mind.
But probably not take it up.
Probably not.
Hmm. And am I right that the reason you're going out tonight is you're afraid Roger might phone?
Exactly.
But you don't want to miss the call about badminton?
You have it in one, Mummy.
And if Roger does call, I am what, evasive?
Evasive to the point of total ignorance. You don't know where I am, you don't know when I'll be back, you don't know where I'm going to be...
For the rest of your life, right?
Right. Okay.
What do you think about cricket books that'll appeal to people who can't stand cricket section?
Are there enough of them?
No, probably not. Still a nice idea. Oh, I must say, I do like the way it's taking shape. That feminism that really isn't strident section was a brainwave.
Thank you. I liked your pictorial histories not to be found remained at railway stations idea, too.
And my favourite is your autobiographies by people who never met Virginia Woolf.
No, it seems to be working. I only wish...
What? Oh, I think I know. You only wish we had a customer in to see whether it really works or not.
Exactly.
Oh, don't worry. One will come in soon.
Hope so.
Oh, how about a books for grandmothers with dynastic ambitions section?
Ha ha. Actually, she's gone off that tack a bit. Given up care as a bad job for the time being, anyway. Concentrating her firepower on me. Says I should get out and meet more people. Join things.
Any things?
No, any things where prospective husbands are likely to be floating around. She has a strange and completely inaccurate view of how the world works. Seems to think that husbands are like trout in tanks in a restaurant. You know, you have a look, indicate to the waiter the one you want, he dips in his net, and a quarter of an hour later it's delivered to your table in morning dress, garnished with almonds. She forgets that it's the men who have the choice. They're the buyers, and it's their market. And on the whole, they aren't that interested in slightly used 44-year-olds.
Oh, I wouldn't say...
You don't have to. For once, this isn't self-pity. You see, I actually don't want to get married again at the moment. Maybe in time, but not now.
Have you made that point to Eleanor?
Well, I've tried. But as you know, she doesn't hear things that don't fit into her view of the world. No, in her opinion, I should be remarrying now. She has the same attitude to widowhood as she has to illness. All right, that's what's wrong with you, that's the treatment, and that's how long the convalescence should be. Being widowed, eh? Well, never mind, we'll have you up and about in no time. She reckons the absolute maximum for convalescence from widowhood is 3 years. Since Henry's been dead nearly 4, she can't understand why I'm not actively putting myself about.
But surely that ignores the fact...
Of course it does. It ignores the fact that I don't want to remarry, and that even if I did, I haven't met anyone who's shown the vaguest interest in being my second husband. It ignores the fact that what we're talking about is a specific case involving a specific individual, but then a lot of mother's ideas ignore that sort of detail.
Well, it'll pass, like most of her other obsessions.
Yes, it'll pass. Not for a while, though. In fact, for the next month, it's going to get significantly worse.
Why?
Because for reasons best known to themselves, Vera Poling's daughter and son-in-law, the expectant Stephanie's parents, have seen fit to invite us to the wedding.
You and Eleanor?
And Claire. Don't ask me why. But I can guarantee for the next month there will be very little talked about in our house that is not in some way connected with weddings.
Oh, dear. And you think that Eleanor's going to...
Please, I don't want to think about any detail of it. It'll be quite ghastly enough while it's happening. Come on, let's devise some more exciting new sections.
All right. Any ideas?
How about political memoirs with a sense of humour?
Oh, no, I shouldn't think so. We haven't got a shelf small enough, have we?
And are you still intending to wear lilac, Mother?
What do?
Lilac.
You remember, Granny, you said you were thinking of wearing lilac to Stephanie's wedding.
Yes, I did. No, I've changed my mind.
I think that's probably just as well.
Why?
Well, it would have been a bit unfair to poor old Vera, you know. She was wearing lilac too.
Trouble is, Vera's not going to wear lilac now, anyway.
Oh, how do you know?
Valerie Brown on the pension counter, Sister Mary, told me.
Ah. Wonder what made her change her mind?
I think she just looked in the mirror.
Granny, that's an incredibly bitchy thing to say.
No, Claire, I'm just being realistic. All I'm saying is that if Vera wore lilac with a complexion like hers, she'd look like a rasher of streaky bacon. Now, there's nothing bitchy in that, is there?
Well...
So what are you going to wear, Mother?
I haven't decided yet. It's rather difficult. Until I know what Vera's going to be wearing...
Mother, you mustn't try and upstage her. It's Vera's day, after all.
Oh, don't worry, dear. I'll be very discreet.
Yes, I bet.
Anyway, I think I'll soon know.
Know?
What Vera's going to wear. Valerie Brown on the pension counter, Sister Mary's onto it.
I see, sartorial espionage.
And what are you going to wear, Claire?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose I'll end up in my grey suit and the charcoal blouse.
Well, I always think that looks very smart.
Yes, I suppose it does. In a funereal way.
And what sort of hat?
I beg your pardon?
Really, dear, you talk about me being deaf. It seems to me you young people who have the problem. I asked what sort of a hat you're going to wear.
Hat?
Yes, Claire. Hat. You know, covering for the head. You know, oh, there's no other word for it. You know what a hat is, don't you?
Yes, of course I do.
Well, so you understand my question, and maybe you can answer it. The question was, what sort of a hat are you going to wear?
I'm not going to wear a hat.
Claire.
I never wear hats.
Claire, this is a wedding we're talking about.
So?
Well, everyone wears a hat to a wedding.
I don't.
But a hat is... Well, it's virtually part of the service.
Oh, come on, Mother. I don't think there's anything in the Book of Common Prayer that says you should wear a hat to a wedding.
Isn't there? Well, there should be. Anyway, it's understood. There are a lot of things in the Bible and prayer book that aren't actually spelled out, but that are understood. God can't do everything for you, you know. He expects you to use a bit of initiative.
Initiative in what way?
Well, reading between the lines of what he's actually written and understanding what he meant.
This has a potentially interesting approach to the scriptures. Could turn world religion on its head. What sort of things do you reckon God meant but didn't actually write?
Well, say, I mean, nowhere in the Bible is it actually written that one shouldn't speak with one's mouth full.
True.
But clearly God never meant us to speak with our mouths full.
Oh, I see. And do you reckon God meant that we should always say thank you for having me after we go to someone's house?
Of course.
And that we shouldn't point?
Naturally.
And that we should always wear clean knickers in case we get run over?
Claire, there's no need to be frivolous. Your mother and I are having a serious theological discussion.
Are we? Seems to me that you're just saying that God agrees with everything you've ever thought.
Well, more or less, I suppose I am. I mean, I'm not sure that we'd absolutely see eye to eye on original sin, but most things, yes.
Mother, you are unbelievable.
What? I don't see why, dear. I'm not saying anything that isn't obvious common sense.
It's been wonderful going through life armoured in the conviction of your own rightness.
What, dear?
No, nothing important.
Anyway, what are you going to wear to the wedding, Sarah?
I suppose I'll wheel out the navy blue number again.
Oh, I always think that makes you look very...
Very what?
Worthy.
Nothing wrong with worthiness, Mother.
But it makes you look like... Oh, I don't know, like a widow.
I am a widow, Mother.
Yes, but it doesn't make you look... What's the word?
Sexy.
Exactly, Claire.
But Mother, who cares? It's a wedding, not a widow-swapping party. Who cares whether I look sexy or not?
You never know who might be there, dear.
What do you mean? Who do you mean?
Well, there might be someone who's,
Who's what? Who's Mr. Wright, perhaps, Mummy? Yes, shut up.
Well, you never know, dear. There's nothing like a wedding to get people thinking about other weddings, Sarah.
You make it sound like something out of Jane Austen.
Not far off, the way she's trying to groom me for prospective suitors. Very Pride and Prejudice. Actually, now I come to think of it, Pride and Prejudice is an extremely good description of Mother. Hey, Russell, how about a section marked books that bear comparison with Jane Austen?
There aren't any. What did you mean when you said Eleanor keeps listing your accomplishments?
Profit and loss columns, really. She keeps assessing my eligibility. Well, of course, Sarah, you are a widow, and you are 44, but on the other hand, you're a very good cook, and you haven't let your looks go too badly.
Sweet tongue she has.
Yes. Well, that's as near to a compliment as I'll ever get from Mother. But, dear, oh dear, she does harp on about it. Keeps scouring round for other qualities I might have that might possibly appeal to some poor wife-hungry sap. Yeah. Yesterday she even had the nerve to say, and of course you do play the piano quite nicely.
I didn't know you played the piano.
I don't. About 30 years ago I scraped through grade 3 and I haven't touched it since. But you see, in Mother's book, musical ability might be another selling point.
I see what you mean about accomplishments. How are you on reading out loud? You know, watercolours, embroidery, pressing flowers.
Exactly. She doesn't seem to realise that men no longer select prospective spouses on how well they play the piano. She's in a world of her own.
But why?
Still just jealousy.
Well, jealousy of Vera?
Yes. Mother's still obsessed with the idea of a wedding. Ugh, I just don't think about what tomorrow will be like. Her capacity for embarrassing me is enormous at the best of times, but the thought of her stalking round the reception trying to hawk me off to every unmarried man is too frightful to contemplate.
Can't you just ask her to lay off? I mean, perhaps she doesn't realise she's embarrassing you.
Don't you believe it? She knows exactly what she's doing.
Well, it seems she's very good at it.
Should be. She's been practising for 44 years.
That could really have been a lot worse.
Yes, I quite enjoyed it, to my surprise.
Stephanie didn't look bad, did she? Hardly showed at all.
No. Mother?
What, dear?
You're right in the back there.
Yes, dear. Why shouldn't I be?
But yet you haven't said anything for about 10 minutes.
So?
Well, it's... Well, let's say it's unusual.
Oh, really?
Vera looked very good, didn't she?
Yes.
Lilac wasn't as bad as you feared.
No. I was still the word with Valerie Brown on the pension counter, Sister Mary.
Oh?
I think she deliberately misled me about what Vera was going to wear. At Vera's instigation, of course.
Well, can't really blame her, can you?
No. No, I suppose not. Oh, anyway, I can wear lilac another time.
Yes.
So Stephanie got her own way about the music.
Yes, I didn't care for it, I must say. But Mendelssohn sounds right. The wedding's not the place for Andrew Lloyd Rice.
Webber.
What?
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Oh. No, I thought it all went very well.
Yes. Incidentally, Mother, I would like to say thank you.
Thank you? What for?
Restraining yourself.
Sorry?
For not embarrassing me.
Or me.
Why should I embarrass either of you?
Well, quite honestly, the way you've been going on about wanting a family wedding and all that business about weddings making people think about other weddings, I'm afraid I thought you were going to be pushing me at every man you met.
I was worried you'd do the same thing with me.
Oh, really? The two of you do get me wrong, you know.
Well, anyway, as I say, thank you.
Yes, Granny, you behaved very well.
Thank you, Claire. Most gracious of you.
Just sat quietly with Kevin's father all the way through the reception.
Yes, no attempts to upstage Vera on her big day.
No.
Let her enjoy her triumph.
Widower, you know.
Yes, I...
Careful, Mummy.
Sorry. Mother?
Yes, dear?
You weren't by any chance thinking...
Of what, dear?
Of the ultimate way of upstaging Vera, of an opportunity to wear your lilac.
I don't know what you're talking about, dear.
Oh, yes, you do.
Only an idle fancy, I dare say. Mind you, we did get on very well. Yes, that would really make Vera furious.
She'd be green with envy.
Yes, and her complexion would clash with the lilac even more.
In Wedding Bells, you heard Prunella Scales as Sarah, Joan Sanderson as Eleanor, Benjamin Whitrow as Russell, and Jerry Cowper as Claire. After Henry was written by Simon Brett and produced by Pete Atkin.